Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Janice Cunning, and today I'm with my partner, Margaret Katz-Kahn. So instead of having a guest, Margaret, I'm going to kind of get to interview you about the blog post that you wrote for us this week.
Okay, I'm excited. It's a little different, Janice.
Exactly, instead of co-hosting.
We're mixing it up. I
know. Yeah, but you shared what I sort of am positioning as like a more personal post, right? Like sometimes you write about more like fundraising topics and often you share personal things, but this was probably a little bit more personal. And it's entitled, What Happened When I Cracked My Rose-Tinted Glasses, which is a very intriguing title. So tell us a little bit more about what inspired you to share this post.
I think probably what inspired me to write this post was just a couple of relationships in my life that just kept causing me, you know how they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And there were just some relationships that I kept coming at hoping somebody would show up differently, you know, and at some point, just getting like, no, that's the rose tinted glasses, you know, other people, I can't count on them to change. And so it was just really my own meandering about accepting other humans exactly as they are, which doesn't mean that you have to like all the parts.
Mm. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen you, you know, in many ways go on this journey the past few years to get like more focused and stronger in this area. And one way, I know you've done it in many ways, is to, for all of the fundraising leadership team, one thing we stepped into is Shirzad Jameen's work on saboteurs. And you make an interesting link to the pleaser saboteur. So first of all, let's explain what saboteurs are. And then let's talk about how that one is pretty much like one of the more common ones that we see in the nonprofit world.
Yeah, the pleasers are we're everywhere in the nonprofit world. I don't think that's just a I don't think it's a coincidence. But talking a little bit about saboteurs, these are, you know, it's a construct that Shirzad came up with, and it really talks about, you know, each of us developed certain adaptive behaviors when we were kids, and they were really brilliant for many of us to adapt and be accepted in our families, or if we were having a tough situation at school, or, you know, whatever was scary or felt unsafe. And there are 9 accomplice saboteurs, and they're sort of all archetypes. And then there's one that Shirzad says we all have, and that's our judge. But the pleaser is, you know, it's when you do nice things to people, with people, for people, because you believe that they're going to like you better, you know, and I came by it honestly, for sure, as a kid.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, what's tricky. And we, you know, we all work a lot with saboteurs with our clients on the team. And what I find is tricky about people understanding them is the behavior can be a positive thing. It's really the, like, we've turned the volume up too loud on it, right? So it's not like we're saying don't do nice things or don't be helpful, you know, because like you said, if you work in the nonprofit sector, that's a strength, you know, that you would bring to your job. That it really becomes it sabotages, you know, and becomes a saboteur when it's like, I don't feel worthy of someone's, you know, respect or friendship or, you know, whatever, unless I'm doing those things for them, right? Wouldn't you agree? Like it's like I've the volume's at a 12, you know?
Yeah, out of 10. It's a 12 out of 10. Yes. People are very much so, especially when they first meet their saboteurs. And I think probably the most common saboteur that perplexes people would be the hyperachiever, because for many people, they just can't even fathom like how bad, right? Like I'm a hyperachiever, right? Like that's how it got where it got. And pleaser is certainly another one where people, yes, they have a hard time imagining. And maybe my best way that I have to describe it is if I do something nice for somebody because it's nice and it's an act freely given, I don't think that's saboteur. But if there's an energy of it as you say, because I don't believe that they're going to love me any other way. And I think, you know, for hyperachiever, when people, when they can't stop achieving, because they don't love themselves if they don't, you know, get whatever prize it is that they set out for. So there's kind of an orientation or an energetic thing behind a behavior, I feel like, that sometimes can help us differentiate between, that's a pretty saboteur driven space to be operating from.
Yeah. And you're right. It's, I like thinking about it as energy, because it's like, if you do something to be helpful at work, let's say like you pitch in because your teammate, you know, has a big project and you have a little bit of time, that would be energizing. You would feel good about that, right? I really stepped up and helped. But if you're doing that to the detriment, let's say, of like spending time with yourself or friends or family, or your own work is suffering, you know, because you feel like you have to do that, that's when I think it's not easy sometimes to know, right? But these are some of the signals, is like, I'm paying a price for this, or I feel burdened, I feel tired when I think about it, as opposed to I do feel energized by it.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, I feel tired, or I feel resentful is often, you know, where we end up. And that's a, you know, a day late and a dollar short, right? Because you don't get resentful until later in the process. But that's sometimes a way to learn backwards, like, oh, that was not meant to be a yes. That really should have been a no.
Yeah. And for me, so it's interesting, because I really resonated with what you wrote. But I come from it. I'm coming from a very different saboteur. So
your saboteur?
It's avoider, which I gotta say, like, when I first did it, I was like, "What does that mean?" Because I was thinking like more procrastinating, which I'm not actually a big procrastinator. But avoider is, and I'm paraphrasing, but Shirzad talks about it more as being avoiding the negative, like over focusing on the positive, you know, and kind of being unwilling to, you know, maybe have challenging conversations or do something, because there's some edge to it. Right. And that, when I read it, I was like, oh yeah. Guilty of charge.
Yeah. What's a way that has maybe played out for you, Janice, as you've kind of meandered professionally? I'm especially curious.
You know, I think one thing that I've learned about myself, like, you know, over the last few years, like through coaching, is I often stayed too long in things, right? So I can think about, like, in my career, you know, I had one job that I loved it. And then I didn't. But that's when the avoider kind of kicks in. I kept trying to, like I was focusing on, like, I could get back there, like this part of it's still good. Like, I still like the people I work with, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I wasn't willing, like, it's not even like I had to have a conversation with somebody at that point. I only had to have a conversation with myself, right? But so, like, I think I was avoiding even admitting to myself, you know, that a change was needed. And I just kept sort of thinking about, like, I was trying to recreate what had been rather than admitting, like, that has ended and something new needs to be born here in my career.
And I wonder if that saboteur is, there's something about it that doesn't believe in us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't believe in ourselves to survive something that's uncomfortable or scary, or, you know, when you leave a job without sometimes knowing what's next, right? I think maybe that's where the avoider saboteur really raises its voice, his or her voice, very loudly.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Because, you know, you said something about kind of taking the best 10 seconds of somebody, you know, and making that like as if that's the person. And now that I think about it, it was almost like for me, because things had been so good, I was still like living in the fantasy, like I could have that again, right? Rather than sort of looking at the whole. But I think that's a really interesting part of what you wrote too, like especially at work, right? Like where kind of, I think sometimes fundraisers with colleagues, but also with donors, kind of explain away or put up with like a lot of
Yeah, you know, I think life is complicated. Jobs are not just one thing. People aren't just one thing. You know, I mean, I think for most of us, if we were working in a job where, you know, where our boss was chasing us around our desk, trying to paw at us, right? Like, we would leave. I mean, that's a pretty obvious, you know, when people are truly unrequited jerks, right? Like, it's pretty easy to not be in relationship with them. But I don't think too many people are that black and white. And so, yeah, for me, some of the people in my life who have been really hard are also, you know, brilliant and charming and love me, you know, or yeah, there's a lot of gray in that. And yeah, I think the 10 seconds, that's it. You know, what was brilliant? What did I love about this person? And I think both probably the avoider and the pleaser have us just hold on to that. Almost, yeah, it's like living from a place of fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
About what was.
Yes. Yeah,
I love how you
what
said
was,
that.
What could be, you know, yeah.
Right, maybe yeah. They'll be nice again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I like what you're saying. It's like very nuanced because like you're saying, like for many of us, you know, if circumstances allow, we would choose to leave. I mean, I've done that too. Like I have chose to leave jobs where it's like, it's not good for me, you know, like mentally and emotionally and spiritually, this is not a good fit for me. But in that other thing I was talking about, it was very nuanced. It was, it wasn't clear, you know, and that's when it can really be difficult. And that's the interesting thing too about saboteurs, right? Is like they crop up more loudly when we're stressed, you know.
Yeah, like, I love, and it's a very convincing perspective, right? I mean, in some ways the idea of the rose-tinted glasses is powerful because I think all of our saboteurs, not always rose-colored, but you know, they put glasses on, so that's the lens that we're looking through. And it's so hard sometimes to remember that there's a different perspective, mm-hmm. you know, that we have choice. We can stand someplace different.
Yeah. But, yeah. And that's the thing with, like, I was just thinking about, like, is it more seductive with the pleaser or the avoider saboteur? But I think it's, if we think about any of them, like I'm thinking right now about stickler, you know, where somebody's really like being in perfectionist mode to their detriment. Yeah. Right. But in that moment, like you said, it that feels very justified and sensible because you're like, you know, let's say you're editing an article and you're in that mode. It's like, but this is going to go out in the world and represent me and it has to be perfect. And like, yeah, it is. They are very tricky and seductive.
They are seductive. And, you know, again, they come from a place, you know, that got programmed into us often as children, you know, where it was true in our families that you had to do, you know, that whatever behavior, that saboteur, you had to see things that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you lost your shoes, nobody was going to laugh about that. Right. And like, that's, I think sometimes that stickler energy comes from, it's, you know, it comes from fear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So why don't you, I love the story about your little dog that you had before, because I just think that kind of encapsulates it really nice. So I encourage everyone to read the post, but tell us that story as the sort of, before we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear that story from you.
Yeah, absolutely. She was my soul dog. Her name was Tasha, and she came from the Humane Society, and she was just a delight in our house. She was chill, and she had this just exquisite fur that soothed me every time. And she was always right where I needed her to be, and I just loved her so much. And yet, when she got, well, I didn't take her to the dog park too many times, but when she ran into another alpha female dog, that there would be a fight 100% mm-hmm. of the time. You know, she, like, there would be first a growl, and then before you know it, the two of them would be, you know, in the ground, and there would be blood. I mean, it was awful, but somehow I still loved her, but I wasn't delusional about this piece of her. You know, it was so easy for me with my dog to accept, like, all this is true about her. You know, mm-hmm. she can be the best dog ever and a total beast, you know.
You didn't put on your rose-colored glasses and go to the dog park and hope for the best.
No, we stopped going to the dog park. Yeah, because she did not merit time in the dog park, you know. But like, I could see that about her. And I don't know why, for so many of us, like, it's so much harder to see that with people, you know. Like, people are, sometimes they're just as predictable, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. 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 I mean, I think you kind of talk about in the article, like, that story helped you realize, like, you can, like, you can see a whole person or a dog and you can accept parts of it. But you also don't have to, you know. I mean, you can also, you can also walk away. I mean, sometimes with people or jobs or situations, we can also say, yeah, except that that's happening, but I don't need to be part of it.
Yeah. Well, and I think, yeah, the point of taking the glasses off is you accept, you see the reality, you know, what is it that is in front of me? What is the reality of this human or of this job? And then you get to be in choice based on what is rather than based on a fantasy.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, we'd love to give people something to try. So hopefully people are a little bit intrigued and starting to think like, oh, I wonder if I have that saboteur. I have a different saboteur. Tell me more about the stickler thing. So what's something that you would offer for people to try?
Sure. Well, I think a fun thing for people to try is that the Positive Intelligence Program offers a free saboteur assessment. So you can go online, and we'll link to it in the show notes, and you can go online and take the assessment, and you can see which your top saboteurs are. And again, there are 9 accomplice saboteurs, and most of us end up with sort of a cluster at the top of tricky ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I'll invite people to, you know, it's very interesting to find out. And then of course the next question is, okay, what do I do about these? You know, and so people should definitely reach out to you if they have questions. You and David in particular run a lot of group coaching, programs where mostly people in the nonprofit sector really come together and work through, you know, a very, sort of detailed, program that we actually did ourselves with Shirdad, and we all found life-changing. Yeah. And now you and David have really taken that on, and there's, you know, an app for daily practice and weekly sessions, and that's, I know you've changed a lot of lives, you and David, through that work. So I definitely encourage people to reach out to Margaret after they do that quiz. And
we'd love to work with people. It's a 7-week program, and yes, we deepen the learning by coaching through the material. And we do tend to get a lot of nonprofit folks who sign up, and a disproportionate number of pleasers, although we have seen a wide variety of saboteurs.
I know, it's interesting, right? When you have an assessment you use a lot, and you start to be like, ooh, in our sector, this is, you know, the thing that shows up most often.
Yeah, I think so. Especially in fundraising.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, I appreciate getting to just be you and me today. You said, it was something different and fun. And we also love to give people here's a bonus free resource, because the quiz is already free, but something from us at Fundraising Leadership is a tip sheet on identifying your core values. And that dovetails nicely with the idea of saboteurs, because one way to kind of use your superpowers to overcome your saboteurs is actually really to get more grounded in your values and be living your values more often. So we will link to that as well in the show notes. And we're going to invite you to go and check out that quiz and put it into practice. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice. Yeah.